What's up, you dirtbags? My name is Luke Eggebraten, and before we dive into this episode, so we've got Brett Moeller coming up with Yeti Earthworks. Definitely an anticipated episode. People have been asking for it. I've been wanting to get him on, so excited to dive in. It's actually one of my favorite episodes we've recorded. But before that, I know on the previous episode, I'd talked about some updates that were coming soon and that I would go through them on this episode. So I thought I'd record this before putting this episode out, just to keep you guys updated on everything Dirtbags related. So as all of you know, or most of you know, Luke Payne and I started the Dirtbags back in February 2022. It was always started as a business. We wanted to provide educational resources for the industry in the form of a podcast. We saw that that was the best way to help people, and also to have fun and to get content out there. And through the years, it's been incredible seeing the growth. You look at where we started to where we are today. We recently crossed 100,000 downloads. I believe we're in about 32 countries, and it's exploded, which is awesome. And we can't thank you guys enough for all the support through the years. And especially this year, it's really transformed into what it is today through you guys, and also through the work that Luke and I have been putting in and really striving for, you know, as far as the value to give you guys. A lot of the guests we've had on have been incredible. You know, the time that they spend to be on the show and to give you guys like valuable nuggets or experiences and just these raw emotions that we all want to see. Part of when Luke and I started was having it really be an unfiltered podcast. We never wanted to tell people what to say. We never wanted to structure their questions or their answers. What you see is what you get. And I don't know if we've ever edited anything out of a podcast. We hit record, we hit stop, and then we send it to Brandon. Brandon puts the intro on, and we let her fly. So that, I think, is a lot of our success, is because you guys want to see the raw emotions of the industry and what it is to be in this industry and to start a business, but also what you go through. So we can't thank you guys enough for following us to this point. As you've probably noticed, the last maybe 8 to 12 episodes or so, as we've talked about, Luke has been a lot busier with Western Excavation. It's awesome to see what they're doing with their business. We talk about it a lot on the show and just get them caught up with everything of just the triumphs, the struggles, everything. And so getting to bring him on these episodes has been a lot harder, and mainly it's just scheduling through the summer. And we knew that too going into it. Luke and I had talked many times of, you know, the summertime likely be a lot tougher. So we knew that, and it became a little more clear as we got into the fall that it was just going to be a little more difficult for him to continue to put in as much as he wanted into the Dirtbags. And so, like any, you know, we're 50-50 owners of Dirtbags Media Group. And if any of you know Luke and I's relationship, it's exactly what it sounds like. You know, we love business. We love playing blackjack together, love having a couple drinks, and just like shooting the shit on the podcast. And that's how it is in our business meetings. Like it is so fun. I have the utmost respect for Luke and how he handles business and also our friendship. And so we've been really good friends for many, many years. You know, we went to school together back in elementary school, and now has started this business together in the Dirtbags. And he's also been a client of ours through Phaser Marketing as well for a very long time. So it just came to that time where, you know, he felt that he probably wasn't giving his all and giving that 50%. And I also agreed. It's like, yeah, we can, you know, maybe work around it. If he wants to do less, we can maybe adjust the percentages. And really, we were just both very open to the options. And essentially what we came down to, and we wanted to tell you guys, is that we felt together that it was the best decision that I just take over the ownership shares of the podcast and really spend a lot more time continuing to grow this thing and continuing to add value to you guys. But also too, that to take that burden off of Luke's shoulders. You know, if any of you know Luke, he doesn't want to let anyone down. And so I think part of it is he didn't want to let you guys down. He didn't want to let me down, knowing that he owns half of this thing and isn't able to put forth the effort into it, into growing it, the strategy, the posting, the topics, the ideas, the guests, all of that. So we had an awesome conversation. It went just as you expected. And we jumped on a call and we said, you know, how do we want to do this? What do you feel good with? What do you feel good with? We split it and it's been great since. So that is what we're going to do moving forward. The exciting thing is we're still going to have him on as a guest, but he just won't have that weight on his shoulders to run the business. So he's still going to be involved down the road. We're still going to bring him in, rope him in, but the podcast is going to look a lot different. That's my goal, is I never want to get stagnant with this thing. I want to keep up the consistency, but also keep everyone on their toes. I've got some ideas of increasing the frequency and, you know, really pumping out episodes and content for you guys, but also changing up the segments, changing up the sponsorships. We have a clean slate, a fresh slate right now. All of our contracts are up. So we have, as of right now, zero sponsors. And so that opens up a whole lot of opportunities for reimagining the Dirtbags podcast, reimagining Dirtbags Media Group and what that means in the years to come. But just continuing to have a great time doing it. So I am so excited to let you guys in even more on the business side of it. And probably coming up into 2025, I'll open up new sponsorship spots. And new contracts, new guests, and a whole lot more. So can't wait to dive into it even more. Thank you guys for all the messages you've sent Luke, myself, you know, DMing the Dirtbags page. It's so awesome to see that there is that appreciation for the show and the time we do put into it. And, you know, I can't say enough about Luke as well, as a business partner, as a friend, and all that he's done to grow this thing. It's pretty awesome to see what we've done since February 2022. First guest, Aaron Witt, which was awesome. And Luke and I taking this idea and running with it to where it is today is pretty incredible. And just the business relationship that Luke and I have is so professional, but we also are always looking out for each other in it. And it always feels like I have his back and he has my back more than the other. And so it's one of the best business partners you could ever have. And I'm excited to see them continue to grow their business, but continue to involve him in the podcast, because this is something that him and I started. We're just restructuring, you know, kind of how it looks moving forward and what he wants to do and what I want to do and all of that. So, super stoked just to keep it going. Thank you guys for all the support, all the love. Got some big surprises coming up, and you know, keep your eyes peeled for potentially some events coming up with Luke and myself there. Obviously, it'd be great to do a meetup at Con Expo, maybe even a pizza party, Dirtbags pizza party, just some stuff like that, just to really keep it going and keep everyone together. I think is going to be a lot of fun. So. With that, we're going to dive into this episode. It's, like I said, it's one of my favorite episodes, and it comes at a time of gratitude and thankfulness, for Luke and what we've built here with the Dirtbags and what we're going to continue to build. And just, Luke, can't tell you thanks enough, but thank you for everything you do for me, for our family, and for the Dirtbag community. Let's keep this thing rolling and let's get into it. Let's go. All right. What's up, you dirtbags? My name is Luke Eggebrotten. We've got a cold beer ready to go because we have a very, very special guest. I've got the Blackrock excavating shirt on, but most importantly, the Yeti Earthworks hat, because we're bringing in Brett Moeller, owner of Yeti Earthworks. How are we doing, brother?
Good. How are you?
Not too bad. Had to make sure I had the gear on right, and excited to dive in, man. I know we're catching up before this. You're in the trailer on a job now. So how fitting to be doing the podcast and just like really dive in into everything you're doing right now.
For sure.
What you got, a banquet or what do we got going over there?
Yeah, got a little Coors banquet. Wish it was a bottle, but
yeah, dude, you know, banquet bottles are undefeated. I mean, the little stubby ones.
Yeah, you just feel like rip hanging on to one, you know, it's gonna wrestle up some stray horses or something. I don't know.
Oh, I love it. So for anyone that doesn't know, you're out in Grand Rapids, Minnesota. You know, we've been connected for a long time. I'm also from up in the area, kind of. It's when people think Minnesota, a lot of times they think Minneapolis, but I tell them Minnesota's when you get about 2.5-3 hours north of the city.
Yeah, there's more to it.
Yeah, exactly. And so I was thinking about how I wanted to start this. Obviously, we had, you know, some big announcements earlier and things like that. I'm super excited to bring you on. A lot I want to go through here, but for anyone that doesn't know you, if you could give us a snapshot of, like, you know, who you are, what you do, and really the business and who you serve, I guess is probably a good place to start.
Yeah, so obviously Brett Moeller, Grand Rapids, Minnesota, 35 years old, born and raised, and our company services pretty much the Grand Rapids surrounding area, maybe 10-15 mile radius. But we'll do landscaping, excavation, clearing, snow removal, and just try and get into a little bit of everything. The only thing we don't do is pave driveways and septics. You know, it's pretty much everything else.
Yeah. And then when did you start? How has the growth been? Like, kind of where are you at as a company? Any pivots that you made along the way? And, you know, where do you see this next couple of years going?
Yeah, so we started in May of 22. I had previously worked, well, actually since I was 18, for a pipeline company, through various pipeline companies, and started out as a ground laborer, worked up to an operator. I did that for the last 15, 16 years or so. And I'll still help them out once in a while if they're close in the area. But, you know, it got to the point where I was tired of making somebody else money. And working for these big gas companies, you don't tend to get a lot of recognition, which isn't something I was after, but it just, you know, job after job after job was like, and being away from home, being away from my family, it just wasn't, started reflecting in my work. And I just wasn't happy with where I was at. So May of 22, we were working in Wisconsin, and told the guy I was working for, I said, you know, this is probably it for me. And I've been calling around trying to find a mini excavator to start a little business. And he was all for it. And he said, you know, don't forget about us little guys. And so it just took off from there. As soon as I found Lano Equipment had a Bobcat E42, I said, yep, be there this weekend to pick it up. And that's what I did. That was my last job in Wisconsin. And came home, picked that equipment up, and started working that Monday.
Man. So, okay. I love that, because we've had a lot of guys that reach out to me that are kind of in this transition stage. Maybe they're younger, they're working a job, they're maybe doing some side jobs on their own, and they want to take that leap full time. And I've been trying to give some more, like a better vision into that. What does that look like? And so it sounds like Monday comes around, you're already working. So, like, how do you get, I mean, you obviously buy the piece of equipment, and then how do you get the first few jobs? Like, how do you fill up that week? And then second question is, as far as like the money, the money you make on these jobs, does that just go right into personal bills, or like, what is the strategy there? Because, you know, you're trying to build the business, but at the same time, like, this is also your job now.
Yeah. Yeah. So luckily, my wife has a job that takes care of, you know, our mortgage, things at home, utility bills, things like that. So I almost felt like a kid in the candy store. I could just, you know, pick up this toy and go to work and love working for myself. But at the same time, it was like, all right, this is now my livelihood and I need to take it serious and I need to get out there. And kind of like we talked before, this first thing we did was branding. Before I even signed on that equipment, I had a name, I had a logo designed and all this and that, and got home and my wife Ashley was like, all right, well, let's do this. So we started pumping out the branding, the website, doing all that stuff. And it just one thing after another, and started reaching out, putting flyers at every gas station, you know, like I had lost a cat or something, and just got after it. And yeah, the jobs started rolling in. And of course, the first year was kind of slow, but man, I can still remember selling that first job of like pulling, might have been four or five stumps at some lake resort or something like that. And we were headed to Brainerd Little Falls area, actually pulling this fish house, and the QuickBooks thing came in like, you sold a job or down payment received job. And it was only like $3,000 or 2,500 or something like that. And it was just best thing feeling in the world. And like, all right, here we go.
Dude, I absolutely love that. Aaron Witt had a post, this is probably a month or 2 months ago, and I've never related to a post so much on LinkedIn. And he talked about similar to what you were going through there, is like going to the mailbox. Like for me starting out, it was like, we had like two clients. One was Black Iron Dirt, you know, Luke Payne, and we're just waiting for the check and just like, okay, it's not there. Okay. It's not there. And then when that check came, it'd be like $800 and then like another $800. And it just like changed everything. Like that adrenaline rush, is so fun and so exciting. And you know, it's not gonna retire you. It's not even going in your pocket, but just like seeing that come in is super exciting. Before diving into one of my favorite topics, which is a huge reason why we're having you on too, is like your branding is one of my favorites out there. But before we dive into the Yeti brand, I want to talk about your wife, Ashley, and the trust that she has in you to start a business like that and to leave your job. I went through something similar where I left my job and started Phaser. Or sorry, let me back up. I was running Phaser on the side and then left my job, and my wife had a good job similar to Ashley. And you take a big pay cut, you know, leaving a job and then starting your own business. Entrepreneurship and starting a business is hard enough, but without the support of Ashley, or in my case, Olivia, I could never have done it. So I'm curious to hear your take on that, and like how much her trust in you helped you get rolling with everything.
Yeah. So I can be kind of persuasive when it comes to that stuff. So I get a good idea and it's like, come on, this isn't like the last idea, you know, this is better. This is, you know, whatever. But no, she was, I think it got to the point where after, you know, 8 years or so of being together, it was, you know, we only saw each other. She'd come out some weeks and some weekends and things like that. And it was just like, well, you know, I remember saying, you know, something feels right about doing this. So, you know, call around, find equipment. And before that was like, all right, laid out the plan. Here's the equipment I want, this and that. She's of course stressing over that. And like,
oh yeah,
you know, pipeline job, you make good money, like really good money. And I could just sense make my own hours, and very, very lenient for who I was working for. So it was like, well, you know, do you really want to do this? You got a good job, you got this, you got that. It's like, yeah, I'm not proving anything to myself. I'm not at home for my family. Let's dive into it. You know, the worst thing that happens, I sell the equipment, I go back to working where I was
at. Get another job.
So, I will say at times it's, you have to kind of release that thought process of you have something to fall back on, because it can get you in a bind pretty quick when you're not being resilient about your work and chase more work. And if you have a thought in the back of your head that, yeah, I've always got something to fall back on, well, you know, that's all it'll be. You'll always have a plan B, but you really got to attack it. And like we said, you know, that's your livelihood.
Yeah, that's so good. And I think it's often missed when things are going well and you have some jobs rolling in and you're like, yeah, we're booked out a few weeks and we're good. And you start to get soft and like you start to get comfortable and you're only focusing on the present. You're not your head isn't above water. You're not focusing on the future of the business, like continuing to grind and getting additional contracts, bigger contracts, developing your team. And so, like, how do you continue to have that mindset when you can do whatever you want because you own the company and you can, you know, stay where you're at or like shrink down? Or how do you continue to have that mindset of wanting to grow?
Well, I mean, the calls coming in is one thing. The calls continue to come in. Our name still gets tossed around quite a bit. And we're 3 years into it. So
yeah,
that's nice. But you know, I drive the Yeti truck every day. Arnie drives the Yeti truck every day. It's like, that's, Yeti is now associated with me. So if I want this to be successful, I need to, it's kind of like the Herb Brooks saying, you know, you play for the name on the front, not the name on the back, or whatever the saying was. But yeah, I don't want that name to fold. I don't want to be just another fly by nighter. And it kind of keeps pushing you. That Dude, and the bill's coming in too.
Yeah, bills coming in, but yeah, you're building something better. Like I you're not building this just to pay the bills. Right. And I think that's such a good point, because you're working on building something that can outlast you and something that can build a legacy and something that you enjoy doing, and that goes past paying your bills. Mm-hmm. And at the end of the day, you need to make money. And at the end of the day, if you're putting in all this work and all this stress, like, you'd like to be rewarded. Otherwise, you might as well go back to making great money on a pipeline job, which, there's nothing wrong with that. But in this case, you have that entrepreneurial mindset where you're like, I want to build my own brand. I want to build my own company. And speaking of brand, I mean, how did you come up with the Yeti Earthworks? And if anyone listening doesn't follow Brett or the Yeti brand, I believe it's Yeti Earthworks on Instagram, TikTok, you know, Reels, everything. But one of the most iconic deer logos that I've seen.
Yeah, so I thought I was gonna get in some hot water for that from John Deere for a little while. And we traded in our 317 and got a 325, and they left the Yeti logos, the little John Deere logo that had the Yeti guy in it. They took the rest of the wrap off, but they left that on the machine.
No way.
It's since been sold, and I'll see it once in a while, and I'll like point it out, and like, and that's kind of cool that they just, I don't know if they just missed it or left it on just cause or what, but
yeah, like, that doesn't look like a deer.
No. Yeah. If you know what you're looking at, it looks a little off, but yeah, I had a list of names that I thought would be cool, and rifled them off to Ashley, this and that. And we went back and forth, and I was just looking at branding, and everywhere you go, like Yeti cup, you know, grab my, hey, we're going camping, did you grab my Yeti? Hey, we're going out on the wheelers, did you grab my Yeti? And so I wanted a name that would associate with more than just my company, or like Moeller Landscaping or BM Excavate, whatever. I wanted something to where somebody mentioned, like, hey, that same thing, grab my Yeti cup. Oh, Yeti, that triggers Yeti Earthworks. And it's just a nice, clean name, nice, clean logo. Like, and we're in Bigfoot country, obviously, up here. But, and I do know, I've been told, I do know the difference between a Yeti and a Bigfoot, but it just ended up working out for logo sake. So we had to sacrifice there a little bit. But Yeah, we just tried doing some name association to get that hook and drive people towards us.
Yeah, it's as I'm thinking about that was one of the hardest things we ever did is come up with our name. And I'm a big proponent on building something that isn't associated to LE marketing or, and speaking of BM, I mean, that could be like, if you're a septic company, that might be kind of catchy, like BM septic removal or, septic and sewer or something. But just thinking about it, it's really cool that you clearly led with that in mind of like, I want to build something that's more of a brand and eventually and in the future isn't just Brett and is,
Correct.
has a team around it. But it's also something cool that people see, people want to wear, people want to talk about. Because I see it all the time. Like people think, oh, it's an excavation company or it's a marketing company. Like who would want to wear that? But you'd be surprised, as you know, it's like people love to support the brands, especially when it's something that's catchy or cool or something that they can get behind. So, do you guys rope in any Yeti like coolers or tumblers or anything with your clients?
Yeah, so that's something we're gonna start doing over a certain dollar amount.
Yeah.
Get some branded cups and some smaller coolers and things like that, and just as a appreciation, because when a client's spending 20, 30, 60 grand on a project, what's $1,000 in cups, hats,
Yeah.
sweatshirts, cooler, whatever. And then there again, it your name's out there. They bring it to a cookout. They've got, hey, what's that? Who's that? And that was big for when we started. We printed off so many stickers and
Yeah.
gave out stickers and hats at the parades, and like it just wasn't something that I wanted to be regulated on. A lot of companies that I used to work for, like it was pulling teeth to get a hat. And then when you got a hat, you were just like the happiest person because you got a hat that
Yeah.
says Precision Pipeline or Michael's Pipe or even the gas companies. And it's like when we started, I just wanted to give out stickers, wanted to give out hats. And it actually still kind of gives me shit for that, because we'll get big hat order in and 2 weeks later they're all gone because I just
Right.
give them out. And like, she's, oh, we gotta save those, we gotta save those. It's like, no, they need to be on people's heads or on people's hands or
Yep.
stickers on stop signs, whatever, like get it out there.
I think about that all the time with we have a bunch of phaser hats, a bunch of different kinds. I've got our book, The Digital Dirt World. It's all in my garage, right? And I'm like, okay, I love that. It's great. I can hang on to it. I can wait for somebody to buy it. Or as people are kind of buying the stuff, I could also send them out to clients. And I could also send them out to people that would wear it and support it. And I could also surprise people that don't know who we are with some stuff. And then it's just like, yeah, of course I would want them. If somebody's willing to wear the Yeti brand, the Yeti Earthworks brand, or the Phaser brand on their head, wear it as a shirt, put a sticker on, it's like that is almost invaluable compared to the cost of a hat. And so it is just, it gets the mind rolling of like, damn, like let's get these out to more people so that we need to reorder, $300, $600, whatever that cost is. And then just keep them going out because that is getting you out into the marketplace, but also expanding your mindset of not everyone that's supposed to be a client needs to wear this, but just anyone that wants to support the business. It doesn't always have to be a client.
And I was getting propane for the fish house today, and the kid filling propane had a Yeti Earthworks hat on.
No way.
Yeah. And I was
That's
like,
sweet.
where'd you get that hat? I was, well, you gave it to me like 2 years ago. And it's just here, this old beat up, ratted up hat. I'm like, man, that's pretty cool. Almost comes full circle,
Yeah, you know what you should do is send him a new one just
Yeah,
for,
I
I mean,
should.
continuously supporting the brand after, 2 years or whatever, wearing a beat up one is just surprise him with a new one. I think that is
I
awesome.
should have given him one. I had some in the truck too, but yeah, just it's crazy to see. And it's kind of funny because you see them out in the wild, or you see some stickers on cars or people
Yeah.
wearing hats, but it's still kind of so new to me that I just kind of want duck down on the corner, like people talking about you. You almost, I don't want to say I feel embarrassed, but it's crazy to see where it's gotten. And, you know, I should certainly be proud of it, but it's tough to break out of that shell and kind of embrace it sometimes.
You know what it sounds like is it's probably imposter syndrome. Like we all go through of just like, you know, you start seeing that out there. You start, you know, hearing people just expect that you're the expert or, you know, and then you start to kind of crawl back into your shell and say like, no, I'm not the expert or no, yes, it's a cool brand, but also like we have a bunch of problems as well. But I know almost every entrepreneur I know goes through a stage and a phase of like this imposter syndrome where you feel like you're not good enough, or you feel like the credit isn't deserved and there's more to be earned. I think a little bit of it's healthy. I think that's humility. But not letting it cripple you at the same time.
Yep. Yeah. I think that's huge.
Got a refill here.
Jeez. What do you got there?
So this is Luke, shout out to Luke Payne. He made fun of me last time I was drinking one of these. It's that golf brand, Bad Birdie. They came out with a Four Peaks Brewing beer. I think they did a collaboration with them. Kind of a funny story with this. So my wife and I are doing, Olivia, we're doing a, we did 75 hard this year, and it was awesome. I mean, I wouldn't go as far as saying it changed our lives, but it was incredible. And we wanted to do something similar, but not as intense in this quarter four and, you know, the last 3 months of the year. And so we're calling it a quarter four sprint. And what we did is we took some aspects of 75 hard and some other things and we put them together. So a couple of things are, you know, read 10 pages every single day, work out once a day, 45 minutes, no exceptions. Journal once a day, you can only drink 4 times a month. So basically once a week, and that's one beer or anything. So that's me tonight. And, and then we've got a few other things in there, even like with our personal finances, we have to meet twice a month to go over our personal budget that we have to make. And so just things like that to really go into the new year with some momentum personally and professionally and in our careers. But where I was going with that, with the drinking is in our fantasy football league, if you have the lowest points for the week, you have to chug a 24 ounce beer. And I happen to lose that. So I'm like, all right, well, that's since I'm meeting with Brett for a podcast tonight and I have to do that. This is going to be my one night to kind of get after it on a Tuesday. So it's unfortunate, but kind of funny. And I was like, what? I mean, it'll be fun to share a couple beers with you, and it's been awesome just like diving in here.
Yeah. So my wife, Ashley, she actually completed 75 hard last year. And I did it with her in the snow, in the rain, in the below zero, going for walks. And I think I made it to like day 38 or something like that. Gosh, what did I have to do? I don't remember if I had to read or if I had to do one more workout, and it was like 11 o'clock at night and I just wussed out and just gave up on it and
said, screw it. It was probably, you're probably like 7 pages in. You're like, I'm done.
Done. Just falling asleep. Like, and I mean, there's something to say about all that. Just hearing you say that, it seems like you did take something away from that whole deal.
Yeah.
You're implementing it in a different way. You know, you go on those Facebook pages and you'll just get roasted for like altering the program and this and that. But I think if you can take something away from it and better your life
in
one way or another, that's a win there. You're doing something you wouldn't have been doing before.
Absolutely. And I made that clear with Olivia, and as we were talking about it, I'm like, we're not going to call this 75 soft or 75 medium. Like this is just, we're calling it a quarter four sprint. So from October 1 to the end of the year, like we're going to better ourselves. Like you said, we're going to work out every single day. We're going to read every single day. We're going to, she added in, you know, the eat 10 vegetables or fruits every single week. So there's a lot of, and then also with the personal finance and the budgeting too, it's just like, why not do a little bit just a little bit to better yourselves, especially with your spouse. And
yeah,
that's
for sure.
really helped build us and push us together. So yeah. And then, but having like a little bit of flexibility, and I know that's not 75 hard, but we're also going to be doing that again next year. So this is just a little bit of a compromise, so we don't fall off the wagon here.
Yeah. I don't think there's anything wrong with that.
Yeah. Couple things I want to go through with you too. You mentioned it a little bit earlier, but I want to come back to it. Free advertisements. And I think this is overlooked, but you mentioned parades. And yep. I know there's a few others that I want you to go through here, but when it comes to free advertisements, I think first off is having a brand, having something that's recognizable, having the trucks wrapped, the equipment wrapped. But what other avenues of like free advertisements, like once you have everything wrapped, would you do, like including parades?
So there's an event called Truck Stop Event, and it's basically like the county puts it on, and the fire trucks come, the ambulance, couple of construction companies, but just to drag your equipment over there. And last year was my wife and I, just to be there in front of the people, have the kids like messing around with the tilt rotator, taking pictures of it, was just huge. And she came up with a little contest idea. Hey, get a picture in the 50 and be entered into a drawing. Well, to get the picture to be sitting in the seat, it had to have her logo on the bottom to get the right picture. So
nice.
I don't remember how many entries there were, but each one of those pictures had, you know, our logo in it. And by design, you're getting entered into this contest while it's our logo showing up again. So that's kind of like that free brand, almost free, but we still had to give some stuff away, which not a big deal, but
right.
And then just donating, you know, we're on a couple of race cars in the local circuit here, really trying to get involved with the youth and sponsor some youth programs and things like that. Some of the stuff isn't free, but the parades, the truck stop events, there's a couple other little things that we do that don't come to mind right now, but it's stuff that doesn't take a lot to really promote.
Right. And as you're going into that too, of like just helping the youth, it's more than just, you know, lining your pockets and growing the business. It's, you want to build up that community as well. And something you didn't mention, you did sponsor and support our Phaser fundraiser this year, which all of that money goes to the Boys and Girls Club of Detroit Lakes, which is my hometown. And so seeing you step up for that meant the world. And it started, if you remember, it started an avalanche in a good way of other contractors. So for people that don't know, you know, Brett reached out to me. It was probably a couple months before. It was when we were starting to look for sponsors, and we've had amazing sponsors for the last 3 years of the fundraiser. But as we're trying to continue to grow that number, like we need extra support. And so Brett had challenged somebody on a Facebook group and just said, like, I'll do 500 if you match it. And I remember seeing that. I was like, man, that is such a great idea, because I love gambling, for one. I love like the gamification of things as well, especially when it's for a good cause. And so I texted you, it was probably in July, and the fundraiser is in August. And we were, you know, like we were getting some great sponsors, but it was like short of where we wanted to be. And I was like, man, I'm going to text Brett and see if he will let me like reopen that challenge. And so I put it on my story and said, you know, Yeti Earthworks will match. We're looking for a match. Like, he's not going to put up the 500 unless somebody matches him. And I love that. And I'm sure you would have regardless, but the gamification of it, we had six contractors reach out, and I think four of them were clients of ours. And so it really just put into perspective of like, people want to help, people want to support, but sometimes they need that extra push, that leader to jump out and say like, hey, I'll put my money where my mouth is if you guys do it as well. And it was just such a cool moment, because just from that comment on Facebook that you put on there, and then us throwing it on my story, raised an additional $3,000 for the kids.
Yeah,
in a community, huge. In a community that you don't even live in or any of the sponsors live in, but it goes so far. And you know, you have my support for anything that you want to do for any of your community, any of the kids, and also like just the dirt world in general. Like, people want to rally behind people like you and companies like you that are trying to do better for the next generation.
Right. Yep. Yeah, that's huge. Helping out the Boys and Girls Club, especially like that. And I kind of knew that going into it that, yeah, if we donated $500, that's great. You know, you get a little plug, which, like you say, we would have done regardless, but how can we spice this up a little bit? How can we pull more people in? Like, because we do a big fundraiser, and that's maybe something we can talk about later another time, but we do a big veterans fundraiser up on Red Lake every year. And so I kind of got a little history with that on trying to get people, sponsors together and trying to get more traction and more money for the veterans organizations. And so I kind of played off that a little bit and said, you know, I know what's worked in the past. Let's try this. And we've actually made a few connections just with how you worded it and promoted it and all that. So,
yeah, well, let's unpack that right now. I mean, so what is the veterans fundraiser? And if anyone listening can support, or is there anything that they can do, if you want to unpack that for us and just like, yeah, kind of give us the overview on it here.
Yeah. So a lot of people probably don't know, but up in Minnesota, we have Ice Castle Fish Houses. And back in 2014, I started a Facebook group called Ice Castle Owners Group. And basically how it came about was, you know, there's Chevy, Dodge, Ford forums when you have issues or want to shoot the shit about your vehicle, whatever. There's these outlets. Well, there was no outlet for an ice castle. And I think I had a problem with the furnace. So nowhere to really troubleshoot, nowhere to, besides going to your next door neighbor and saying, have you had this issue before? And so we started a Facebook page. And gosh, I don't know how many 30,000-40,000 members we have now, but we've been doing this fundraiser. Yeah, it's huge.
Wow.
And we've been doing this fundraiser for, this is our 10th year now. And it's out of JR's Corner Access on Red Lake. And it started out Friday, Saturday. And now it's grown to people showing up Wednesday. We plow out a huge event area. And you know, we have 1,200 people that gather on the lake, and Friday we have a band, big tent on ice bar. We have a band. Saturday we do a bunch of drawings, giveaways, and present the check to the veterans nonprofit we choose that year. In the last several years, it's been Band of Brothers Outdoors, and lifetime donation wise, I think we're just under 500,000 that we've raised with raffle proceeds.
Wow.
So we'll create a raffle. We'll raffle off a couple fish houses, a couple of nice ice castle fish houses, tons of augers, tons of electronics. And this money goes to Band Brothers to help veterans get out hunting, fishing, survival camping. So anytime it's the last weekend in January each year. Like I say, we've been doing it 10 years now. But we're just getting some major traction. Clam is wanting to be a part of it now. Actually, they are a part of it. Clam Outdoors, Traeger is being a part of it. Garmin. So it's just, I mean, it's exploded, and it's for a great cause. We've seen the money directly help veterans. Our raffle tickets will have kind of like a secondary awareness. We've done sex trafficking. We've done suicide awareness. And it's funny because they write their name on a raffle ticket, and then they get the raffle ticket stub. Well, on that raffle ticket stub, there's information, say like suicide hotline or sex trafficking hotline number. And every time we've done it, we've had either somebody come forward and say, hey, my daughter was a part of a sex trafficking scheme or whatever, and we appreciate you guys bringing light to that. Or we've had somebody at the event where they're like, hey, I'm a veteran, you know, I hurt all the time, don't feel myself, I've had barrel of a gun in my mouth, and you've given me an organization to work with, and he's still a part of that organization 4 or 5 years later, and it, you know, probably saved his life just from having that information on the raffle ticket and ganging up with these organizations.
Man, that's powerful. And this is, you said the 10th year you guys have been.
This will be the 10th year. Yeah. Yeah. Wow. We do it all on the ice. Takes us 3 days to plow out. It's all like campground RV style.
Yeah.
Spots right at 45. I'll send you a link of the video.
Yeah, absolutely. And then, and while we're on this too, like if people listening, you know, want to support, or is there a way that they can support, either like just a donation or anything like that? How would they get more information, or how would they do that?
Yeah. So, Band of Brothers is a 501c3 nonprofit, and they have a website you can go to donate, or you can purchase raffle tickets for the raffle drawing. And we've actually got them printed now. So if somebody did want to have a chance at winning an ice castle, winning a four wheeler or whatever, you can always reach out and support that way. Or the best way is just coming and experiencing it, because it is just, it's quite the show. And we do need, you know, we're always looking for sponsors for like the fireworks or the tent or the heat, or, you know, we, Ziegler helps us out with some light plants, or United Rentals with heaters and things like that. But year after year, it's getting harder and harder to have these guys help us out. Of course, the cost increases and things like that. So that's, we're basically selling a experience, and that experience in turn ties them into the nonprofit, ties them into the fundraising. So I guess short story long, you gain the experience and then you get tied into the nonprofit, is kind of the best way to put that.
Yeah, absolutely. And then also too, guys, for anyone listening, is, you know, just reach out to Brett at Yeti Earthworks on Instagram or wherever you find his company, and he'll help you with, if you do want to give $100, $500 or anything more. I know any dollar is appreciated for any of these types of fundraisers. And like you heard, I mean, this can go a long ways. And so, I thank you for sharing all that, because to be able to potentially help one person, like over the 10 years that you've been doing this, makes it all worth it. And it sounds like you've helped a whole lot more people than that.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. It's crazy that the community that's out there for, you know, even, you see it in the dirt world, but you also see it like in the ice fishing and in ice castle world. It's a huge community. And we found before, I'm going to do a shameless plug, but Peak Spray Foam, Wayne Deering, good friend of mine, you know, his spray foaming doesn't even have anything to do with ice fishing, but he'll come and sponsor the fireworks. And that's where 80% of the pictures come from, is the fireworks on Saturday. Where else do you get a 20-minute fireworks show on the ice, you know, having a good time drinking a beer with your friends? And that's kind of like, that's always been for me the final send off of the weekend. That's where I can finally kind of enjoy myself. And but there's got to be so many elements to this thing now that, like I say, anybody that doesn't even have a product or a service that correlates to it can get a lot out of just having your name there. I know with Peak, now that they've been a sponsor for so long, they have gotten countless huge houses, countless contracts for spray foam just from the ice castle world.
Yeah. And I would just double down and say, you know, a lot of times for us and for people listening too, it's not about what you can get out of it. It's like what you can put in. And I think that's the bigger part too. It's not that, you know, we're all going to get leads from it or anything like that, but just seeing that you're already paving the way and have been, and are just looking for some extra support to help these other people. And that we that are so blessed with our businesses and are maybe doing well or not doing well, but want to help. And this is just a clear, direct way that we can help. So yeah, I know I put me down for, and we can talk after this too, but put me down for a sponsorship or some type of donation. And I would love to help out, and I'd love to see if any other dirtbags want to jump in as well.
I'd like to just have you there. I mean, that's,
yeah.
Dude,
so I was going to say, is it
unreal
the,
experience?
Is it the January 29th week or is it the weekend?
The weekend. So I believe it's the 24th, 25th, 26th, somewhere in there. It's the last full weekend in January. I know the last weekend gets split by February, but
okay. Awesome. Okay. So yes, I'm open that weekend actually. And then we head to Chattanooga for the Pavex show. But
Oh,
that's
yeah.
That's not until Monday. So we might.
I'll set you up with a fish house, whatever. Bring Olivia.
That would be so much fun. And it's her birthday on the 29th. So this could be
perfect. This
if
could be epic.
She's probably not listening this deep into the episode, but this could be her birthday present.
Yeah, there you go. Always see, we're just helping everything around here.
Oh, I love it. Yeah, if anyone wants to join me and join Brett and I out there, let us know, and we'll coordinate a fish house together and have some bush lattes. Man,
yeah,
that's
10th year. We've got some big stuff coming up, and I can't speak on it for one, because I haven't been told, because they won't tell me, but there's some big stuff coming up for the 10th year. So
man, I love it. No, anything we can do to help, we'll do it, and it'd be sweet to be there as well. So oh gosh, this episode's getting good. So I want to keep going. I've got definitely a few more items, and we're gonna go a little long here. So I thought this one was so funny. We were talking about this earlier. I didn't know what to title it, but basically, like, spending money on things that doesn't make sense and then doing things yourself that in your mind makes sense. And you use the example of, like, you use Dirty Graphics, and they, you know, print out all your graphics and your wraps for your equipment. And give a little bit of insight on the story when you guys tried to do it yourself.
Yeah, so Dirty Graphics had stickered up the 50 just because they needed a template to produce more. So he's like, hey, bring it by, we'll sticker it up, pick it up on Sunday or Monday, whatever it was. Turned out great. Traded in our 317 for a 325. Said, hey, I got to get stickers on this thing. And you go to their website, and they've got the drop down, this and that. And talk to them, and they design it. Like, all right, easy enough. Ship it to your house, we'll put it on. So we get this box in the mail. It's like, and my wife's like, that's it? I said, yeah, you wait till you see this sucker. And it was like a comforter blanket. I just roll it out. And we had it on the equipment trailer, and it was over the front and over the back. And
jeez.
She's like, well, where do we start? It's like, well, they say you do the big pieces first. So it's a little windy outside, and we live on a lake, and the wind's coming across, and we grab this big piece, and she's got one corner, I got one corner, and we're trying to slap it on the side panel. And like, I'm saying, no, nope, we got to pull it here. She's saying, no, nope, you got to pull it there. Oh, now we got a crease in it, this and that. And she goes, of all the dumb shit you spend money on, you thought we could wrap the skid steer? And I was like, well, yeah, you got a point there. I think next time we're going to just bring it in and have it done.
Oh man, it's so funny, because there's so many situations that I think of where I'm like, I would spend anything on it. And it's like, yeah, whatever, just put it on the business card, we're good. But then there's certain things, like your example of wrapping your own skid steer. It's like, why not just pay the experts to do this? Like, especially when they printed everything.
Oh yeah.
And for me, it's like, for some reason, and we love flying budget airlines like Spirit, Frontier, Allegiant. Like, those are my airlines. But Olivia and I will refuse to spend like the $8 to pick your own seat. So there's sometimes where like, we won't even be sitting next to each other, but we saved $8 a piece and we just feel good about it. So it's so funny hearing you say that, because why do we try and save money on some of these unnecessary little things when we spend money on dumb shit?
Oh yeah. And another example, we were at the Zach Bryan concert in Minneapolis, and my wife had booked the hotel and it ended up being the wrong hotel. So we'd gone in to check in. They're like, "Oh no, we don't have you on the list," or whatever. And they're like, "You're probably thinking of the one uptown." Ashley looks and it's like, "Oh shit. Yeah, it's the one uptown." So we go to exit the parking garage, put the ticket in, like, "Oh, that'll be $50 or whatever. And I don't like confrontation, like, at all. And so I'm getting my card out and she's like, "No shit. You're not paying $50. I said, "Let's just pay and get out of here." 'Cause we're both frustrated at that point. I said, "It's just $50. Let's just pay it and get out of here." She's like, "Hell no, we ain't paying that." And like literally opens the door, goes charging to the front, this and that, and comes back to the truck and has a ticket and put it in there, and $0. Like, man, I'd have just paid the $50 to get the hell out of there. And she is just like, "Nope, not doing it. We're not spending $50. We weren't even here 20 minutes." And like, I'm just so ready to get out of there and get to the
Dude, I have that same mindset, not Ashley's, but your mindset of like, "Oh, we'll stick it on the credit card. Yeah, let's get out of here. It'll save me 30 seconds and I'll probably get credit card points for it. Like two cents worth." And, but we all need an Ashley in our life that's willing to stand up for the $50 and get that done.
Yeah, no, she's, you know, I really couldn't ask for a better partner, because she, where I lack in a lot of areas, she picks up and, you know, kind of holds me to the flame once in a while. And I sometimes don't like making calls, sometimes don't like, for instance, a job. I didn't know how we were going to get these jobs done. One had a wedding coming up. The other was, I had been given a deadline on when they expect it done. And she's like, "You know, you just," I said, I'm just going to give their money back on one job. Let's get this other one done." And yeah, we lost the job. I got to give money back. She said, "You know, just make the call, call them, tell them you got to, things happen out of your control, push it back." And I did. I swallowed my pride and made that call and said, "You know, I'll comp you a little compost, 13 yards of compost." And they were happier than hell with it. And everything ended up working. But
man, that's incredible. How involved is she in Yeti?
So she does a lot of the back end stuff, payroll, taxes, things like that, deals with the accountant to where I can more be in the field and good jobs and things. So that behind the scenes.
And it, like you mentioned too, and whether that's your wife or your husband or whoever, or somebody you hire, it's a good example of like, you need somebody that's different than you, whether that they're in the office or they're managing in the field. And so not hiring the same exact person as you, that's not going to get you very far. And with that too, with that conversation, I know you had reached out, I don't know if it was a year ago or 6 months ago, I can't remember when, but we were talking about hiring and I don't remember the exact question, but it actually kind of ties into our Shares Landscaping podcast we did with Ryan Shares a couple episodes ago. And you had reached out and said, I believe it was something along the lines of like, you know, would you hire somebody if they're an A player, if they're a stud, but you don't have the work for them yet? And, you know, and my response is just like, absolutely. Because in my opinion, and it doesn't work for every company, those people are so few and far between. And like, I call them A players, people that can just pick up and go, and like, they almost read your mind, but they're a little different than you. We have those on our team. And I just said, yes, like, hire those people if they come around, because they are absolutely few and far between. I'm curious to hear, like, since that, have any of those come to fruition? Have any of those popped up? And what does that look like today?
Yeah. So that episode, it was actually Luke Payne that was talking about it. and I don't remember exactly how the episode went, but it was something along the lines of, if talent comes along, you need to scoop them up, because
Absolutely.
especially nowadays that doesn't always happen. And so I remember him saying that, and I messaged you, and it's like, yeah, we don't have the money to pay him what he's worth. But he reached out on Facebook, worked for a bigger contractor in town, and actually took a substantial pay cut to come and work for us. And he was sick of where he was at, wanted to be at home. So I met with him, and I probably put him off a week or two, just because I was kind of scared shitless that, like, hey, how can we afford this guy? Do we have enough work on this and that? But it just, Luke's words kind of kept playing in my head, like, you need to scoop this up and you'll make it work. And so now that's happened on two occasions now. And it just so happened that these two guys work really good together and worked at the same company. And it's just been, I don't know how we would have gotten through the year without doing that. And I relinquished my pay for the year. I didn't pay myself, which, right or wrong, not sure. But we're still kind of new into this, but so I let go of my pay in order to be sure we could pay these guys and make it work and just take care of them. And the first guy is kind of become the foreman now and given a company truck, and he was just so thankful, like, never had a truck before, this and that. And he keeps that thing just like spit shine clean. I feel bad getting into it once in a while, because like I'm always dirty and like, but man, it's just, I can't believe how true those words are, that when talent comes along, you scoop it up and make it work.
Yeah, absolutely. And Luke always says it so well too, because he's a lot more clear and just like, yeah, absolutely, take him.
Yep.
And it's like, okay. And then you look at your situation and you're like, yeah, I think this is exactly what he's talking about. And then, you know, you kind of work through it. And you and I were talking about it too. Like, sometimes you stress over like maybe an extra $10,000 a year on a salary, or this or that, or maybe they're requesting something a little bit more that's not crazy, but you're just like, I don't know how we can afford this. But then as you get into it, as you're 3-4 months in, if they're a true A player, the money conversation kind of goes away, and you're just like, yeah, this is absolutely going to work. And as long as there's that trust both ways of like, you might have to take a pay cut, we're a smaller company, but I use this example all the time. We do it with some of our employees. It's like, hey, we can't pay you what you're worth right now, but let's start you here at this salary. Let's say it's 60K salary. And then in 3 months and 90 days, like, I want to get you up to 65. I think you're there, but I just need to make sure that we're both on the same page. And so I've done that in a situation too, and it's worked out really well, because once they're in the system, like, you're trusting your gut, you think they're going to be the right fit. You think they're going to be that A player and take the leadership role. And then they get in and they do, and you're like, yeah, absolutely worth 5K extra a year. And then obviously building out a plan from there to get them more money in the future as well.
Yeah. And that's something we made clear right away, is that we can't pay you what you're worth. And another thing too, is we're a union contractor. So we're in the local 49 operating engineers. The laborers don't have to be union, but all our operators are. And we've been lucky in the sense that the operators don't just sit in equipment and wait for something to happen. Like, these guys are go-getters. They don't call with a million questions. They get out and bust their ass and get it done. But something else that Luke had said was, you know, value tends to go a little further too. It's not always just the money aspect of things. It's being valued. So that's something that we've really wanted to do. Getting the guys involved in having dinner, or like going out shooting, or going on wheeler rides, things like that. Just adding that value is huge, making somebody feel like they're not just working for somebody, you know?
Yeah. Just like a dead end job. like something like you get your paycheck, you go home, you spend it, you go back to work again. And yeah, you got to build some of those memories, some of that culture as well. And
yeah,
just
the culture is
working
huge.
For working for a company that you enjoy working with and the people in it as well.
Yeah. And if, you know, if they need some time off work, take some time, spend some time with your family. If you need the skid steer or Mini-X at home, take the equipment, you know, put it on the, get fuel on the card, whatever. It's, you know, we really want to value our guys and make their lives better, make their life easier, whether it's grading out the yard for the weekend and they didn't have to rent something, or, you know.
Yeah, I've noticed that too. With the longer the leash can go out, the easier it is for both parties, right? Mm-hmm. And as long as you just, there's that trust between both, it's like, yeah, you can get so much more value out of this. And like, yeah, let's not make me charge you to use the skid steer, charge you to use the mini. And that's just that trust factor. Like you said too, if your employee just keeping the truck spit shine clean, it's like, yeah, that's, if as long as we like keep it like this, there'll be zero issues and you can do whatever you want. But it's when the dishonesty starts to creep in and then some issues start to come in, that's when you have to start making corrections and starting to shorten the leash. But ideally it works out for the owner and the employees if the leash is a lot longer and there's just that trust in between both of them.
Yeah. And like you say, it certainly can go the other way. So you definitely have to be prepared to pull in the reins and reel that all back in, which is where Ashley kind of comes in. Cause last year we kind of dealt with some bad attitudes and I let it go and it spoiled the pot a little bit. But this year, you know, we told myself I wasn't going to do the bad attitude route with employees and things like that. And if it starts getting kind of shitty, we're going to reel it back and either terminate or come up with a plan. So, and that's it, luckily it's worked out good, but she's always my, my voice of reason sometimes for that kind of stuff.
Yeah. And you need that too, whether it's a third party, like a spouse that isn't working like in the business every single day, or a coach or a mentor or somebody that can look at your business and say, yeah, that you shouldn't tolerate this, or this isn't you, and to kind of snap you out of it. Because I'm the same way as you, Brett. It's like, I let people get away with more than they should. And because that's just how I am. I like to please everybody. I think that's our personalities, but also we're business owners and we have to run an operation here. And so sometimes you need that person that doesn't care about your feelings or this other person's feelings as much to say like, yeah, your business is going to go south if you keep this going up, if you keep the bad attitudes creeping in, if you keep this production rate at what it is. And so making sure that you have that person, mentor, coach, spouse, whoever it is that can kind of help you snap out of it, I think is so important.
Yeah. And that's the exact conversations we've had is like, hey, this is where you're headed. If you continue with this, you need to nip it right now and correct it.
Yeah. And giving that roadmap too of like, hey, I'm not saying we're going to fire you right now, but like, this is my expectation, and making it clear of like, these are our standards of the company. These are my standards as a business owner. Let's get you back up there. Otherwise, like, it's just not going to continue. And that's unfortunately a matter of fact, but at least you're given a little bit of the benefit of the doubt to see if they can overturn that.
Yep. For sure.
Man, I love it. As we wrap up here, anything that, you know, any closing comments, remarks, obviously amazing conversation that we had. I've like so much more that I want to get into, I think on another episode as well. And I know a lot of people are going to have questions. So, maybe a good follow-up with that is like, how can people get a hold of you if they have questions and want to get a hold of you that are listening, and any other things that you want to finish up on here?
Yeah. So obviously Yeti Earthworks LLC, Facebook at Yeti Earth on Instagram. Feel free to reach out with any questions. I certainly don't know it all, but that's how I learned is listening to this podcast and networking and reaching out to the guests you'd have on. And just because you know, a lot of these guys are killing it and you want to be there one day. Well, the only way you're going to figure that out is reach out and kind of pick their brain on it. And everybody I've talked to and ran into is always receptive of that because they've started at nothing. And, you know, everybody's always about helping one another out.
Yeah, absolutely. And I appreciate you saying that too, because I think that's one thing that, all of our guests that we've ever had on, that Luke and I have had on, have been more than receptive to any comments, questions, DMs. All of you guys are on Instagram and it's just very easy to get in touch with you. So for anyone listening, yeah, just shoot him a message, even just letting Brett know that you listened to the episode too. So, Brett, it was an honor to have you on. I was super excited for it and glad we could make it happen.
Yeah, no, this, I certainly appreciate the opportunity. This is huge. And just to talk to you is, it really kind of open your eyes for what you guys are doing for the industry and the network side of things. I ran into Tyler, Gearing.
Oh yeah.
At, the Storm Equipment Storm Day
in Mankato.
Yeah. So I ran into him and we got to shooting the shit and talked about going to the gala and all this and that. And
hell
it's like,
yeah,
man, it's just such a small world. And I think what brings the value is you're not just bringing any old person on to talk. Like, you're finding valuable people that everybody's got their own little input. And if you listen to these podcasts and put it all together, you're going to come up with a successful plan. Whether that's, say, you're doing this part-time and you're looking to transition into full-time operation, well, scroll through the podcast and you're going to find tons of information on how to do that, tons of information on marketing. It just, this covers everything. You know, it's pretty crazy to listen to all these podcasts and put all that together.
Yeah. And I appreciate you saying that, dude. It really means a lot. And I know we've had countless messages from people, you know, on the Dirtbags Instagram, and even just people that text me and just say like, hey, we appreciate it. Like, we appreciate the work that goes into it, but this is one of my favorite things to do. As you and I talked before this, like, we're just going to shoot the shit. Like, none of this was planned. And that's my favorite part. It's just, it's raw, it's intentional, but it's not structured, I guess. We don't have questions that we're going through. I had a couple points I wanted to hit on, but that's the beauty of it. And it's not going to be perfect, but like you said, as you go through the episodes, as you go through this content, none of it's perfect, because that, you know, life isn't perfect, business isn't perfect, but you get to hear from all of these entrepreneurs and business owners, but also like experts in their relative field. And so to have you on and to break down so much of what you've done, but also what you're trying to do, is just so important for everyone listening to hear, because I'm big on not just having the big guys on the show and not having just the startups on the show and just the middle guys. And so just trying to get all perspectives, because everyone's in a different space, no matter what. Everyone's in a different place in their business. Everyone's a different age, different structure. Some might be fourth generation. Some might have just started 6 months ago, and some might want to start in 2 years. So I appreciate you and just how willingness to, you know, to give to the industry, meeting up with, you know, Tyler, and he's awesome. And I was just with him a few weeks ago in Minnesota as well.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
We went to an open house together, and it's just so awesome. Like, how small the world is, like you mentioned. And as we get into trade show season, that's going to be a big part of what I want to do with the podcast is bringing more of our listeners together. Obviously Con Expo is an easy one, like having a meetup there. We've talked about Dirtbags Pizza Party probably
is gonna be
what that is, and then also just other shows and just bringing people together. So it's definitely an honor, and we definitely appreciate having you on, man.
Thank you very much. Thanks for having me.
All right, guys, reach out to Brett if you have any questions, or just want to reach out to him. He's at Yeti Earthworks, and look forward to another episode in the near future, man.
Heck yeah, let's do it.
All right. Cheers, dude. Good to see you.
Cheers. Yeah, have a good night.